And I've asked Jared Boyer to lead us in the invocation and the pledge.
Father God, we humbly and boldly approach the throne room this afternoon. We thank you for your goodness and your kindness and your mercy. We invite you into our presence as we discuss the affairs of the county. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I want to ask if there's any veterans present here. I know. Thank y'all. Thank you. Moving right along, have a roll call. Madam Secretary, would you call the roll?
Yes, Your Honor. Barrett.
Here.
Boyer.
Present.
Kate.
Here.
Good. He's down on bottom.
Yeah. He muted himself.
There we go.
Higgins.
Here.
Houston.
Here.
Kendricks.
Here.
Lahotsky.
Here.
Knight.
Here.
Pearson.
Here.
Pickett.
Here.
Rowland.
Here.
Schock.
Here.
Thank you. Moving along, number five, approval of the journal. Turn to tab one. What's your pleasure?
Judge, I move that we approve the journal as filed.
Second.
It's been made and seconded to approve the journal as filed. Any discussion on the journal? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Item number six on our agenda is County Officer's Report. Turn to tab two. Treasurer Simpson, would you start out?
Thank you, Judge. If you'll throw with me the summary of statements from the court. County General Fund 1,000, $2,733,571.34. County Road Fund 2,000, $4,311,952.28. County Road Sales Tax Fund 3402, $1,680,064.85. Animal Welfare and Control Fund 3404, $1,668,008.43. Criminal Justice Tax Fund 3407, $1,068,781.52. Flip with me, if you will, to page two. As you can see, our county general revenue is back almost identical to where it was this time last year. But we've still got about 30-something percent of the revenue left, 42% actually, of revenue left when sales tax comes in. So that's what's really going to be the key. If you'll turn with me to page three, sales tax for the month of August, $928,053.77. That's a 13.42% increase over that time last year. Year to date, we're at 8.02% above running total. And if you'll flip them in again, we're currently 69% of our projection. And then the last page is the chart. As you can see, the three-month moving average has jumped greatly above the one-year moving average, and the one-year moving average is trending up significantly. Are there any questions? Thank you, Judge.
Thank you, Scott. Scott, good report. Not all of the state of Arkansas can come with this report. This positive report. I don't know what's unique about Faulkner County, but it's a good other counties. Official reports.
Judge?
Yes.
I've got the sheriff's office. On
county stats?
Yes. You want to do it back there? Fine.
In detention, our detention center, our head count is 118. We're holding 112 right now. And in September, for the rest of this month, or till now, I guess, I should say, we're at 127. So it's going up. Our unit capacity usually is 218. We're at 71. And as of right now, we're 91. The female head count is, capacity is 88. In August, it was 53. And as of right now, we're at 60 per month. The juvenile head count, 16 usually, the capacity. And in August, it was 3, and right now, we're at 6. Inmate intakes was 343. Inmate releases was 283. In our patrol division, total number of calls to dispatch was 2,748. Total number of calls just to the FCSO was 2,087. Number of violent crimes, domestics was 83. Number of thefts or criminal mischief was 70. Animal calls was 58. All other calls was 1,876. We have wrote 6 animal citations for the month of August and 0 warnings. In our criminal investigation division, we have 70 open cases, 24 closed cases. In our transport unit, we have made 92 total trips in August, 5,810 total miles, and the cost was $5,594.82. Thank you, Judge.
Anybody have a question, Matt? Hearing none, other county officers report. Hearing and seeing none, let's move. Standing committee report. Courts and Public Safety, would you go first?
Your Honor, Courts and Public Safety did not meet in September.
Okay. But you do have
part of this
commission.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Okay. Finance Committee?
Yes, Judge, we have one ordinance for the court to consider tonight.
Personnel Committee?
Well, we have two meetings this month. One last Tuesday, one right before our court meeting tonight. We will be passing several requests from different electeds to the full budget committee for their consideration for our budget process for 2021.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Infrastructure report?
Yes, sir. We did not meet this month.
Okay. Next item, number 8, old business, turn to tab 3. I believe this is the second reading of the proposed ordinance on transparency, board transparency. If you turn with me to tab 3. Counselor, it's in your hands.
Well, I believe that before anything's done, there needs to be a motion and second before we read it.
I thought we had that for the first reading.
I believe you're right. We did. We waived the last two.
Yeah.
My mistake. You're right.
Okay. Well,
yep.
Go ahead.
Your pleasure to read by the entire ordinance. All right. Proposed ordinance 20-21, sponsored by Justice Chris Kendrick, be enacted by the Quorum Court of Faulkner County, State of Arkansas, an ordinance to be entitled County Board Transparency Report Ordinance. Whereas the citizens of Faulkner County expect transparent county government, it is imperative to publish reports of all boards that require a public appointment, which conduct businesses vital to county operations. Whereas the citizens of Faulkner County need to be able to view all opportunities for public service so they can have adequate time to apply and understand requirements to serve their fellow citizens on county boards. Now, therefore, be it enacted by the Quorum Court of Faulkner County, Arkansas. 1. All boards shall be posted on the Faulkner County website to include, but not limited to, Equalization Board, Library Board, Museum Commission, Volunteer Fire Department Board, Public Facilities Board, Election Commission, Emergency Squad, Lowell Library Board, Lake Conway Community Wastewater Utility Board. Two, each board shall have the following information posted: ordinance or law creating committee, purpose of the board, applicable state laws that govern each board, requirements for those serving on the board, pay amount if applicable, board member information. One, name, phone number, email, and address of each member. Two, who appoints the member, i.e. county judge, school district, cities, quorum court. Three, term information, date appointed, and when term expires. Three, the board vacancy shall be posted on the county website for 1 month to allow applications from citizens of Faulkner County. Four, the board information shall be updated after a new appointment has been made and or at a minimum annually.
You've heard this ordinance read for the second time. There'll be one more reading. The floor is now open for any discussion of this ordinance. I'd like to bring out, I think one has been left off. Are you meaning to list all boards?
I listed the ones that I can remember, Judge, so if we need to add them, we can.
Well, you're the one that's authored, but the levy board, I know, has been a big board in play. And I'm kind of like you, I can't remember others.
I remembered what I could, so.
Well, and there is a lot of wiggle room in the sense that it says website to include but not limited to. So
okay.
Certainly if the levy board judge wanted to include that, that wouldn't be a problem.
I don't have any problem either way, but it is a board that's functional in the county.
Okay. Counselor, do we need to make a motion to add the levy board to?
I would advise, I mean, you can't. All right, so... if you want to amend it, you can amend it to include the levy board. The problem then becomes a three readings issue, okay? So we've amended it in such a way that you would then
restart it.
I would recommend not amending it and just allowing the county judge to add that and additional boards that may come up.
Right. That's why I included them not limited to, because those are the ones that I could either find something on or remember myself.
Right. So some boards are going to come and go, and so there has to be some flexibility there. So I don't, although the levy board's clearly a very important part of the county,
yes.
I don't think it's necessary that we amend this ordinance to specifically include it, but it's your decision.
I'm giving your advice.
My next question is, Chris, under three, item three, the vacancy shall be posted for 1 month. Most vacancies that I've dealt with, and I think others have dealt with, they're emergency vacancies. They become, nobody expected it to happen. And they need them filled as quick as they can. At the present time, I think we do it on a 2 week. Is it 2 weeks that they're out there?
Generally, it's been 2 weeks.
14 days, you know. I'm wondering about the 1 month. 1 month, because they happen when people least expect it. That you got a vacancy, then you got to advertise it and try to get it filled.
Just my thoughts on that, Judge, is that if it truly was an emergency, we could always waive the requirements and hear an appointment with the requirements waived. But me personally, I'd really like to see it stay at a month, just so people would have adequate time to apply. I mean, if it's a scheduled vacancy where somebody rolls off, it could be posted whenever to give adequate time to apply. And if it was an emergency and it truly had to be filled because it would impair the operations, then the court could always waive those.
It's your sponsored ordinance, but that's the biggest feedback I've heard, is 1 month on it from the time somebody gets off the board to come back and be filled. So, other discussion on the transparency.
Yes, Your Honor. This is Justice Knight.
Yes.
Kind of to this, what we've been discussing here, if we don't feel like the court report, we don't feel like we've had enough time. The court report doesn't have to approve it, do we? Maybe that's for the counselor.
Let me make sure I understand your question. When you say approve it, you're saying a hypothetical board appointment if this ordinance were to pass?
Well, even right now, if we don't think there's been adequate time to post it, we don't have to vote in favor of it, right?
That's correct.
other discussion? Go ahead. Yep. Any other discussion on this ordinance? Hearing none, we'll move on. Second and third reading will be in our September board meeting. Next item on number 9, new business. Please turn to tab 4. And it's a appropriation ordinance. What is your pleasure?
Judge, I move that the court consider proposed ordinance 20-23 and read by title only.
Motion been made and seconded. Proposed ordinance 20-3 by title only. Counselor?
Proposed ordinance 20-23 be enacted by the Quorum Court of County of Faulkner, State of Arkansas, an ordinance to be entitled an appropriation ordinance to amend and supplement Faulkner County Ordinance 19-48, dated December 17, 2019.
You've heard the ordinance read by title only. Floor is now open for discussion on this ordinance 20-23.
Judge?
Yes, go
ahead. Mr. Counselor, this one may be for you. I have a question about Section 9. Like, I can guess that, I can see that Section 8 is for spay and neuter. What, can you explain Section 9 or somebody?
Sure. No. As I explained to the Budget Finance Committee, this appropriation is necessary due to the travesty that happened in Mount Vernon with the two dogs that killed the young boy. Those dogs were taken by the Faulkner County Sheriff's Office, but we needed a place to put them. Conway was agreeable to allow us to board the dogs there, and so we boarded the dogs for about 3 months. An agreement has been reached with the owner of those dogs to put the dogs down. So this appropriation will pay for the boarding cost essentially for those dogs, as well as the euthanization cost, and that comes to just right at $2,500. So we thought it was best to use the funding that we had through the Animal Welfare and Control Fund to help pay to deal with that situation.
What does the conversation look like from the perspective of him paying for this since it was his dog? Like, what does that look like?
So there's a thin line between the civil issue and the criminal issue, which is really why my office got involved and not Ms. Cruz's office. But to my understanding, one of the issues is the ownership of the dogs, and that's a legal issue. But I don't believe that any criminal action has been there's a criminal action against the owner of the dogs, the female. The criminal action is against the gentleman that lived in the house with her. So under normal circumstances where the owner is the same person being charged with a crime, there probably wouldn't be a civil. You would seek that reimbursement, if you will, on the criminal side of things. But because there was a separation, we just found that it was easier to deal with it on the civil side. Kind of a small price to pay in the long run of things, especially when we're dealing with the tragic event that unfolded.
So, and this may be going too far, but when we passed a new animal control ordinance last month, we made some revisions to it, not really a new ordinance. Do you see the way we have that ordinance structured and talking about fines and fees and stuff, could this $2,500 charge be like a recurring thing that we might have to deal with if we keep impounding dogs and sticking them in someone else's shelter because they're vicious? Does that make sense?
It could be, but I think the revised ordinance actually puts us in a better place. So this current case couldn't be decided with our new ordinance because we passed the ordinance after the events took place. But with the new ordinance, it allows us in a better place to seek compensation from dog owners for boarding costs. Then we went through and we specifically, because of this situation in part, have created an ordinance that allows us to get that reimbursement, if you will. So in essence, we may not have to use that fund as much as we would if you would a pass-through account where maybe we front the cost but then seek those reimbursements later on.
All right. That's what I need to know. Thank you.
Counselor? counselor. So to follow up on Justice Lehowski's question, I believe there are provisions in both the previous ordinance and the new ordinance for restitution. And this would probably be considered to some degree restitution. I think the issue is there's not a criminal impact here. And so because it's civil, the restitution may or may not apply.
That's right. So restitution applies in a criminal case generally. So this is just kind of one of those tough incidents where because there's a separation between the owner and the person that's been alleged with a crime, we're kind of left in the middle. Hopefully we won't have these in the future, but I think our new ordinance puts us in a better place than we were before, with nothing against the former ordinance, but hopefully in a normal fact pattern we would be seeking reimbursement in other ways.
Counselor, one other question that may be outside the bounds here, but do we know if there's going to be a civil suit filed in this case?
So we've entered in a civil suit. Let me be specific here. There's a civil suit that's ongoing that does involve the county. That's the family versus the dog owner and the whatever, the boyfriend. That doesn't involve Faulkner County. The other civil suit that I think you're referring to is whether Faulkner County would file suit against the dog owner and they would have their chance. Basically, this agreement, or we've entered into a consent agreement to put the dog down, and the dog owner has basically waived their right to that hearing. So there won't actually be an additional lawsuit. In fact, Matt, I hadn't heard, but the euthanization may have even occurred last week. I know they were trying to get time scheduled. It occurred without having a hearing.
So as much as I hate for the county to have to pay for this, it probably is more financially expedient for us to go this route than to go through a lawsuit.
That's correct.
Counselor?
Yes.
Are we setting any kind of legal precedents by taking this action?
Well, I mean, there's
going to come back to haunt us in the future if this happens again.
No, I don't think that it'll come back to haunt us. I mean, every case is individual. So a future case can't come and use this necessarily against us as evidence. And they can try, but it's one of those things where, one, I think we have been pretty consistent. Two, I would always opt to, if you will, settle a case for a very small amount of money. I say settle. We're out $2,500 from the Animal Control and Welfare Fund, and without the fanfare that can be attracted and the time and expense that comes with litigation, especially this type of case.
It just came to mind, thinking some thoughts out loud here. The Animal Welfare and Control Fund, 3404, that is the volunteer tax, right?
That's correct.
Okay, so not to open a can of worms, but is it proper for us to take out of that fund, or should the county actually be footing this bill?
That's a fair question, but I think the issue that comes up is an exaction issue. So we can't use tax funds for anything other than what has been specifically agreed upon. So let's go back to the original ordinance that creates that volunteer tax. And that specific ordinance basically is very broad. So any animal control or welfare can kind of fall under that particular ordinance then. So this is one of those issues where we're putting down two of the most vicious dogs that we've had here in Faulkner County as far as an incident. And so I think it's easily falls within the animal control scope, so we don't have an exaction issue, but a fair question.
I would also like to thank, it was Mayflower that took that dog, right?
It's actually Conway.
It was Conway?
It was
okay,
Conway.
And I'd like to thank them for doing that for us.
They've been exceptional because my understanding is they have not been easy dogs to deal with over 3 months. So.
Thank you.
Other questions on any item in this proposed ordinance?
Judge, I've got a question on section 4. What are we buying a vehicle with that, or what are we doing? Yep.
Who's your question to?
That would be the sheriff's office, either Chief Rice or Ms. Lilly.
We had a vehicle that was totaled.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hearing none, Madam Secretary, would you call the roll?
Yes, Your Honor. Barrett.
Yes.
Boyer.
Yes.
Cates.
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
Higgins.
Yes.
Houston.
Yes.
Kendricks.
Yes.
Lahusky.
Yes.
Knight.
Yes.
Pearson.
Yes.
Pickett.
Yes.
Rowland.
Yes.
Schock.
Ordinance 20-23 does pass. Moving on under new business, courts and public safety discussion. I've asked Justice Higgins to take over.
Thank you, Your Honor. So, Judge, we have talked in a number of courts and public safety committee meetings and also in full court meetings regarding fines and fees that have been not collected or uncollected here in Faulkner County. And, you know, there have been a series of numbers that have been talked about, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of $20 million plus. And do we have a potential windfall with this money? And, you know, I've had the opportunity to visit with a number of people regarding how this works. And we've talked about that in our meetings to see how all that works. And there's restitution money involved in this, and there are court fees involved in it. But there are some money that that are collectible that could be beneficial to the sheriff's office. But one thing that we've talked about as well that we need to be clear of is this is actually a responsibility of the sheriff's department to collect this money, even if they weren't getting a dime out of it. I mean, these are fines and fees that courts have required and levied that need to be collected. In the meantime, with these discussions here, they had an opportunity to talk with Lindsay French, who I've invited to come and speak with us tonight from the Arkansas Association of Counties. For those of y'all that don't know her, she's been very supportive of us on a number of cases. I work with her with the Arkansas Association of Quorum Courts, and she was willing to come and share with us a program, the Arkansas TREX Debt Set-Off, and we've kind of mentioned that here before, but we really didn't know what it was about. And so I'm inviting Lindsay to come and share that information with us. Tonight is strictly information gathering. I don't have an ordinance or anything proposed, but I wanted to help us become more familiar with this and to educate ourselves on that. So I'd like to invite Lindsay to come up. You can come up here. I'll step out of the way, and you can take your mask off if you'd like so we can hear you.
That would be wonderful. Thank you. Thank you, Justice. Thank you, Judge Baker, and I appreciate you all having me here today. This is my first meeting I've been to since COVID started back in March, so I feel a little rusty and nervous, but hopefully we can get through this together. I'll try not to take too much of your time. I've given you all a handout here, and I'm by no means going to go through this whole handout or read all of it verbatim. Most of what I want to discuss with you is on the front page. So Justice Higgins mentioned that it is the Sheriff's Department or whatever office is delegated with the responsibility of collecting delinquent fines and fees to diligently pursue that. And that is actually found in Arkansas Code in 19-2-305. And it's referring specifically to state agencies, but it's fairly broad where any department who receives state funds, I think it could be argued it applies to, and it says that they shall diligently collect these fees. And one of the specific tools it mentions for this collection is the set-off of individual income taxes through VFNA. So counties can do this by themselves. I have done it myself personally for one county in the past, and it is not a fun process. It's tedious. The VFNA system, in my opinion, is a little outdated, antiquated, and you have to get things just so to put the data in. Otherwise, you end up putting in each debtor individually, every social security number, every debt amount, every name, getting none of those numbers transposed. It's a difficult process. So we have teamed up with the National Association of Counties to provide this ARCTREX debt set-off program for counties in Arkansas who want to participate. Currently, it is only for court fines and fees. We are hopeful that in the next year or two, we can expand this to delinquent property taxes, or at least a portion of delinquent property taxes. to help bring some of those in, as specifically property taxes that can't be certified to the state, then there's really no recourse. But for now, it's just court fines and fees. So what authorizes counties to participate in the state's personal income tax debt set-off program? 2636301 is the statute, and I'm at the second bullet point here. It's a statute that authorizes any court, Arkansas County District or City Court, or a debt owed by the county collector or county treasurer, to be submitted to DFA, and they will then do a match with the person's social security number. There are three things you have to submit: their amount owed, their social security number, and their name. And they will match that, and if the person has filed an Arkansas tax return, then up to amount of debt that is owed can be offset and sent to the agency that's owed the money rather than it going back to the debtor. It's an automatic process. It occurs on about the 25th of every month, and the counties usually have their money in the bank by direct deposit in the first week of the following month. That part is a pretty seamless process once the offset is done. There is a little bit of a caveat. If a person is married and has filed a joint return, then the spouse who is not the debtor owes or has a 30-day period to contest that and say, hey, this part of the tax return belongs to me, not the person who actually owes the fine, and they can contest that and not have theirs set off. If I get going too fast, or if you all have any questions, just raise a hand, stop me. If not, I'm just going to keep rolling along. The middle bullet point here, county debts eligible. Current state law says that debts eligible to be sent to the state are those that are unpaid for 90 days or have missed three or more payment periods if they're on installment payments. You can submit all fines, and fines in statute includes court costs, restitution, probation fees, public service work, those installment fees that are tacked on. There are $5 installment fees that get tacked on per month that would go to the office who is in charge of collecting to defray that cost of collection. So that money, if collected, in your case, would go to the sheriff's office. And to sign up for the program, it's a very simple process. It's a two-step process. You pass an ordinance. We have a sample ordinance that we will provide to the county once they show interest, that we've vetted through our lawyers, the lawyers at the National Association of Counties, and various county attorneys. And we think it's a good ordinance that we'd be happy to provide. And the second step is an MOU signed by the county judge once that ordinance has been passed. The cost, that's what everybody wants to know, right? What's the cost? The good news is there's no upfront cost to the county to participate in this program. We do not charge an upfront cost at all for this. You will send out notices to these debtors. That's a requirement in the state law for due process. You have to send out the notice to a debtor 30 days before you submit their information to DFA. So I'm going to show you a timeline and a little bit about how that all will work. But in many cases, we've found that you send out these notices to people telling them that their income taxes are going to be withheld. They don't like that for whatever reason, whether it's because they file a joint return with their spouse and they don't want them seeing this or getting upset, or because they have other plans for that money. But a lot of people tend to come in and pay that voluntarily once that happens. So for those voluntary payments, in other states where NACO has done this program, we've just been doing this for 1 year so far, so we don't have Arkansas stats yet. But they find that 3 to 4 times more people come in and pay voluntarily than actually get their refunds intercepted. So for those people who come in, it will cost you nothing. There will be no charge for that. There is, if you decide to opt into our letter program, the sheriff's office could send the letters out on their own. We will give you the letter to send out, the language that DFNA has approved that you have to use, and they can send it out on their own. Or optionally, for $2 a letter, we can send all that out for you and save you the cost and personnel time and all that to send those out. But for those who come in and pay voluntarily, there will be no cost. That will just be all money going to the county. For those that are submitted and are successfully matched and offset, DFA charges a 10% administrative fee on top of that for court debt. For all other debt, they only charge a 5% administrative fee. So it is my prerogative this legislative session to get that fee lowered for court debt to 5%, because I personally don't see any reason why they should charge 10% on court fees when they charge 5% on all the others. They're not doing any additional steps. And then the remaining amount will be sent to the county. The county will get all the money after DFA takes its 10%. Then the next following month, AAC will send an invoice for the appropriate charges. And that charge is for all successful net offsets over $30, it's a $25 charge. So if you offset $2,000, it's a $25 charge. If you get back $200, it's a $25 charge. It's just a flat fee. And the services that includes, we do a social security number lookup and validation. This will be very big if we get into property taxes, because county collectors don't house social security numbers, nor do they wish to. Now, in the court side of things, they've typically got a social security number because it's in the court record. However, humans input this information, numbers can get transposed, numbers can be left out. So if you have a name, a date of birth, we can use our system and we can find the correct social security number and validate that to make sure we're going after the right taxpayer. We also have an automated voice response system for debtors to call. So once they get that notice in the mail, they won't be taking up the sheriff's lines, calling and asking what's going on. It'll be an automated service that will tell them what agency they owe money to and how much it is. And of course, a free telehelpline for counties that they can call with any help that they need. As I mentioned, the service letter is optional for $2 a letter, or the county can opt to do that on their own. We have, yes?
How many counties do you currently have participating, Leslie?
Good segue. That's exactly where I was headed.
Okay.
In our first year, our pilot year, we had three counties, which were Miller, Poinsett, and Craighead County. Craighead is another Class 6 county, so fairly comparable to Faulkner. They were able to bring in, through offsets in their first year, $63,000. That's just in offsets. Now, if the data from other states tells us anything, that means they had 3 to 4 times more people than that come in and voluntarily pay. Talking to Sheriff Boyd up in Craighead County, they couldn't really tell us, because they weren't looking at it beforehand, how many they've had come in and voluntarily pay. But the longer we go, the better we can gather that information. They know of at least another 30,000 that they were able to pinpoint that were voluntary.
That did not cost them a dime.
Correct. Other than the cost of sending out the letter to the debtor.
Just a follow-up question. Out of those three counties, how many of them are doing the letters themselves, and how many of them took advantage of the service through this program?
One county did the letter service through us, and I believe it was Craighead County,
okay,
just due to sheer volume.
Correct.
And, yes.
So I understand clearly. So once the letter is sent out, whether we send it out or you guys send it out, this $25 fee, so let's say this was Rose Rowland's fine, and I go into the sheriff's office and I pay it without involving you guys, I got that letter and I got scared, are we still obligated to pay that $25 fee?
No, ma'am.
Not at all.
The only time that $25 fee kicks in is once the DFA actually takes their tax interception.
Okay.
That's the point that the $25 kicks in.
Okay.
Yes. Good question.
Ms. Chair.
Yes, go ahead.
Just real quick, this is Justice Tyler Pearson. From those collections in Craighead County, do you know quantitatively about how many individual collections comprise that monetary figure you gave us?
I do not have that information with me right now. I can get it to you. I believe the total amount that they submitted was about $7 million in outstanding debt. And that's typical of what we've seen is about a 10% return rate and offsets, not including voluntary payments.
Okay. If you do have that data, I would be interested in seeing it. And it's good to know about the total amount as well. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
So, Lindsay, one question that I had also is I noted that, we could start with fines that remain unpaid for 90 days or more than 3 months. Is there a statute of limitations on how? Because if we have an estimated $20 million, I suspect a few of them are old.
Good question. There is not a statute of limitations on debt owed to courts.
Okay.
You owe that until the day you die. Of course, some of these people that you will have on your books are, in fact, deceased. And that's also something that we can help you find when we do your Social Security number validations. We'll find that these people are deceased, and then you can get them off your books, which frankly makes the county look better when you can get those people off your books. And, you know, no one is going to just knock this out of the park in your first year. It's something you get better at year after year. You discover what data is better matched, and the better data, the better return you're going to get. It's really a process, a year after year learning process. We're hoping to add 3 or 4 more counties this year, including Faulkner.
Lindsay, isn't it?
Lindsay, if I
go ahead. Sure, go ahead.
First off, this is Justice Steve Good. Thank you very much for coming to Faulkner County today. We appreciate very much you taking time out of your day. What about restitution? If a business owner or someone is owed restitution, is DFNA going to take a cut out of that, and are those percentages going to come out of restitution so that business owner does not get the full amount on this program?
Yes, that's a good question, Justice Good. And restitution is a debt that can be submitted. And if a business owner has a judgment against them and they file an Arkansas tax return, that can be intercepted. DFA's fee does come out of that no matter what.
But that's the $25?
No, the DFA's 10%.
Oh, 10%.
Would come off on that. So you're correct, and it would not completely make the person who holds the judgment whole, but it would certainly give them money that they wouldn't have got any other way. It wouldn't erase the debt. It would give them something.
Huh, okay. Okay, thank you very much.
And my point is, you can resubmit every year until the debt's paid in full, though, correct?
Correct.
And one thing pointed out in this was that the person that owes the debt, the 10% is considered as payment on the debt. It's not held out, and he paid 90 and all that. But he gets full credit for what he does.
That's correct, Judge, and that is something that is in state law that that is a requirement. Anyone who uses the DFA set-off program, that's the case. You're
that's
not allowed
not,
to
that's
charge.
Not any problem. That's not any problem. That wouldn't be a problem anymore. I've been banking too long to know you get 90 cents on the dollar taken.
Yes, sir.
What does DFA do if
this individual owes us money, if they increase their withholdings from one withholding to 10 withholdings, so they're not paying any taxes, therefore they don't get a tax return. Do they have the ability to move into garnishment?
No. The short answer on that is no.
Okay. Do you want? If they're due a tax refund, you can go after them for your money.
That's correct.
If not due one, you can't go after them.
Correct. I mean, in the civil world, if someone has a judgment, they can always pursue the garnishment process. And I think that was just about the end of my presentation. I will, if you don't mind, take just a minute to page 3. There's a flow chart just to give you an idea of the timeline and when certain actions need to be taken. The red squares, there it is, hard to see, I'm sorry, but I'll try to walk you through it. So the first square there is the county enacting the ordinance. If it's not an emergency ordinance, of course you all know it needs three separate readings of 3 different months. We do like to have the debtor notices sent out in November, December at the very least. So that kind of gives you a timeline of how urgent it is to get the ordinance passed should you choose to go this route. It says the county submits the DFA letter of intent, participate in a sample debtor notification letter. If you participate in the program, we will do all that for you. The county judge will just have to sign the intent to participate. We will get the letter approved. We'll handle all of that for you. The final square on the top row there says October 1st to November 1st. The county or clearinghouse sends out the debtor notification letters. Again, that October 1st to November 1st is not a hard deadline. That's kind of a goal to get those letters sent out by. But to optimize setoffs, we want to have this information to DFA by January 15th. People tend to start, if they know they're getting a refund, they tend to start filing early, end of January. So if we can get those in by January 15th, that puts the hard deadline for getting letters out December 15th. So if we can get those letters out early December, we feel like we're in great shape. The final deadline to submit information to DFA is February 15th. After that, you cannot submit. DFA doesn't allow you to add more debt after that final submission. You can only submit to them one time. But if someone comes in and gives you a voluntary payment during that time, you can go in and delete that person out of the system to where their return is not intercepted. And a lot of the rest of this on here is just internal technical stuff that I won't bother you with. But like I said, the offsets start coming in on January 25th. There won't be many then, but there will be a couple. And then, of course, February and March are big months. April is a big month. And you will have that money in your account by the first of the following month, or first week of the following month. And that's all I
can do. Can I ask one final question before you're done?
Sure.
So, just for clarification, I want to make sure I understand. So this, the money that will come back in, though, most of these fines and fees are already designated for specific areas. Even though they're going to be collected by DFA, when they come back to the county, they will have to go to the area that's assigned. The sheriff will not be able to retain that money, correct?
That's correct. Some of it will be, costs that go back into the court system, the State Administration of Justice Fund. Some of it will be restitution that will go to residents of your county. Again, I spoke of those installment fees that are tacked on, and when you get involved in those, that all goes back to the office who is in charge of collection, which would be a sheriff's office.
Gotcha. Thank you very much for the clarification.
You're welcome.
You had your hand up.
So, Your Honor, what I would like to do then is I'd like to present this to Courts of Public Safety along with the sample ordinance, so that we can discuss in more detail is how it affects Faulkner County. What I wanted Lindsay to do, she's done an excellent job, is present the overall picture of this program to see if it's something viable. for us. Again, tonight was informational purposes only, but I'd like to bring it to Courts of Public Safety. Let us vet it. Let us discuss it. You know, there are questions about, do we want to do some of this internally? Do we want, you know, her team to work on this? Those are the kinds of questions that we need to be thinking of between now and the Courts of Public Safety Committee.
Good recommendation. Now, I've heard one name mentioned, the county judge, but don't you have a meeting on this unless you involve the sheriff's office
and
the sheriff himself.
And I appreciate that.
I don't want to leave the sheriff out of this circle.
And as a matter of fact, I had a conversation with the sheriff. I'm trying to think. It was either yesterday or Friday, and advised him of this. I've also talked to the sheriff and Ms. Woolley about this previously, and I've received positive responses from them. I mean, it's like we've already talked about. If we bring in $100, that's $100 we're not receiving now.
That's right.
It's good to put a name to a face. We have been talking with Ms. Woolley, and we've had several webinars that she's been in attendance on. So the sheriff's department has been.
We want them at the table.
Absolutely.
When this is discussed, I'm there. We go.
Yes.
Anybody have anything else to find to go to court for public safety? We need a motion, Councilor, to send it there or what?
No, I don't think we need a motion.
By him being chairman, I think
he can set the agenda.
I'll take care of it, Judge.
Lindsay, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
A good
for having
presentation
me.
And you'll be commended.
My email address, if any of you come up with any questions later after you get back home and thinking, is lfrench@arcounties.org, and that's usually the best way to get the fastest response from me.
Your work with Craighead County is known pretty far and wide.
Good to know.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lindsay.
All right. Moving right along. Next item. Any other on the court public? Lady, did you have anything else?
No, sir.
Okay. Special reports. Any special reports that need to have? Only 20 minutes straight dinner. Get it to you. All right. Appointments. I have appointed Kathy McGee and Iva Galt to the South Hello Fire Department Board to fill the two vacancies that were created. I need to come before y'all and what's your pleasure. Iva Galt and Kathy Hughes.
Motion to approve the appointments.
Second.
Motion been made and seconded to approve the appointments. All the voters say aye.
Aye.
They'll start tomorrow. Okay. Any announcements? I've got a couple, but I'm offering them. Anybody got them now? Let me tell you about the 26th of this month, Saturday. Conway, City of Conway is holding a prayer and walk. They're praying for the county, city, and all. And they're having a prayer and walk. And my understanding, the public's invited. It's on Saturday morning. Media City Hall and prayer. Several of the ministerial alliances are going to be there, and they're going to walk to the courthouse and all. And this has been put together by the City of Conway, and that's the 26th. Levy update. They're ready to start repair. They're ready. They hope to move some equipment in this week. May not get there, but the contractor been notified to get started on the levy update. Permanent patch on the lid. There was at least three 911 ceremonies last Friday commemorating 911 in and around Faulkner County, and I'm proud to see that folks took time to do that. Faulkner County is number two in the state of Arkansas in census return. We're number two. We were number one for a long time, but Benton County got their act together, and they've become number one county. We're still number two. Greenbrier, Bologna, and Worcester have led all year in the top 10 cities in the state of Arkansas. So we're proud of our census. We've only got 30 days. September 30th is the final day. If any group you know of or anybody contact them, they fill out the census. I was told today it would be about 20, we would lose out on about $2,500 return from the federal government for every person that was not counted. Now, a lot of that's in the form of help to schools, help turn back money for different things, but the census is so important. But this county looks like the challenge was made and met. I was told by another source that the state of Arkansas, after the census takers have been out, as long as they are, they're right at 95%. There's three states that are at 99. We're in the top 15 states in the nation, but that's what the census paper going around validating stuff and all. It's not the figure, that self-response figure, that's in part of it. As it stands right now, we probably could have done better, but I'm pretty satisfied with what we've done. I mean, we're not going to lose out. Some counties in the state are in the 30s. They got some room to go. They got 15 days to get there. 30%. But our census for Crawford County has been real good. I challenge everybody, take this with you that Lindsay brought. There's more information in there than the damn show dogs to jump over. And if you just follow it with my stuff, it ain't going to ever get rid. This is something, a big challenge that sheriff's concerned about and this county's concerned about. And we'll get somebody, there's some on the video that won't have a copy of what she brought.
We have some.
We have some.
Yes, sir.
Some.
I bet we could get them to the secretary and she can hang on to them.
All right.
I can email them.
Any others? Yeah.
Judge, you reminded me of one announcement I would like to make. So I serve on the board of directors for the STOP DV program.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I cut in front of you.
No, go ahead.
We support survivors of domestic violence. And October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And on October 1st, we're having a fundraiser walk. October 1st, it's $20 to participate in the walk. You walk anytime during the month. But if you're interested, you can stop DV at the Facebook page. The information is there.
I'll give you my 20 if I don't have to walk.
I'll
give you my 20 and I'll have to walk.
There you go.
All right.
Thank you, Judge.
You got it.
Yes. For the last couple of weeks, I've been collecting supplies and so forth for the victim of Hurricane Laura. And we've gotten a pretty good amount of donations, more not as much as I want, but I'm very happy with those that we have. I'm leaving next Wednesday taking a van or a truck, depending on how many more donations come in between now and Friday or Monday. So thank you if you've donated. If you still need to donate, please let me know. Drop a donation off by the office. We're looking for basically snack foods, mosquito spray, toiletry items, and things like that I'm going to take them to a church or to a, where there's two places I'm talking to. We're going to take them down to Lake Charles, Louisiana, drop them off, and we'll make it a one-day trip, 6 hours down, 6 hours up, and just basically leave it with them, let them distribute, and come back. But if you donate already, thank you. If you have it, see
you. Do you have anything else, Margaret? Do you mind if I adjourn?